We're going to talk more about the mind of the inner man today. I've explained that we have an inner man that was birthed from God and an outward man that was left in darkness. Your inner man was quickened and brought to life, but now your inner man's mind and emotions must develop with Christ being formed in you. So I want to look at a few verses here to kind of help this picture come forward more. Now, this is your first video on this subject. It's important you go back to the beginning of the series so you can follow us through how this painting of the inner man and outer man. The series is comparing the model that most Christians use, which is I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, to a better model, I believe, a more clear model for us, which is I have an inner man that's being renewed day by day and an outer man that is perishing. So let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing 1 Corinthians to the believers in the church. Not to the community, but to the believers. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Now, as we read this, I want you to picture what he's saying, that I cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Meaning I had to speak your language. You are living in the language of carnality, fleshly carnality, and so I couldn't speak to you. Now, as I say this, I'm aware that many believers feel that carnal means the bad things. Smoking, drinking, cussing, fornicating, that's carnal. That's bad. That's soulish. And that the good things, love, joy, peace, that's spiritual. That's good. But in the picture of the inner man and outer man, it's a distinction of where you're thinking from, where you're living from in your emotions, in your thought. Are you thinking from the carnal outward man, or are you thinking from the newborn spiritual inner man? So when he says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, what does that mean? It means I had to teach you milk. I had to speak in your language. It's like if I were to speak to my one-year-old daughter when she was one, I had to speak to her in a language that she understand. My tone was important. Not even the words mattered at 1 year old as much as the tone I used. But now I can talk to her plainly as she's growing up. Like, what does it mean I could not speak to you? I'm speaking to you right now. You're understanding my language. You're understanding what I'm saying, the concept of what I'm saying. So it's not that he couldn't speak good or bad. He's saying, you are carnal people. You're living in your carnality. These are born-again believers, and many of them are preachers. And he's saying, you are carnal. It's important we notice that he is made a distinction between spiritual people, and that terminology, spiritual people, doesn't mean people have visions and dreams and visit angels, the spiritualistic kind of people. It means that your spiritual man is so malnourished that you can't even think. There's no knowledge in there because you haven't filled it up. So you are living out of your carnal man, your outward man. I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. So he contributes carnality, those who are living in their carnal man, to being babes in their inner man. They're babes in Christ. They're immature. You have to develop that inner man with the help of the new nature. Now we're going to go back over to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read through this. It's very powerful. When you see this picture of the born-again nature and the new person you became, these verses are powerful. Again, remember, he's written this to the church, to leaders in the church, to bring correction. Because they were operating the church pursuing God through their carnality. And that's not what he taught them. And I, brethren, verse 1, chapter 2, I came to you. When I came to you, I did not come with the excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything about you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now, this verse gets misinterpreted all the time. I get many young men who challenge me along the way because they're seeking the power of God. They say, Alan, you're spending too much time in doctrine, and we're not to seek the wisdom. We're supposed to seek the power, which is not what he's saying here. One preacher said, we need to forget about doctrine. We should all get along because we love Jesus and seek the power of God. I told him later after his message about not seeking doctrine in the church, not pursuing truth, but to pursue just the power of God and relationship with God. I said, that was a great doctrinal message on how not to pursue doctrine. Because he misinterpreted these verses thinking we need to be performing in the power of God and not worrying about the wisdom of God. But we can see that that's not what Paul is saying, because if you go back to chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The message of the cross. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. That means those who have wisdom of this earth will see, well, that's what he means. Those who are walking in the wisdom from this earth, that will be destroyed. And I'll bring nothing to the understanding of the prudent. So all those who are pursuing wisdom of this world and trying to bring it into the kingdom of God, it is powerless. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolishness with the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Now, stop there. The wisdom of this world did not know God. The wisdom of this world did not know God. Remember that. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So there's a wisdom that a man could have, a person could have before they're saved. It's their natural intellect. That is how you think and make decisions, by your natural intellect. Paul also called it the carnality, the carnal man. There is a message of the world that you cannot know God. But we preach Christ crucified, verse 23, to the Jew a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, or carnality, or outward man, or natural man, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world and things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So God has started a new kingdom, a new family, a new species that has its own understanding. See, when you were born again, you didn't just sign up for God and now follow all the rules. Something changed in you. A miracle happened. You became, were birthed in that moment, a new species, a child of God. Meaning that you now have the characteristics, the ability to be like this new species, the children of God. That's why the laws used to be on the outside of how to live holy are now written in your heart. They're written in the inner man that now you can be holy. He didn't just give you instructions. He gave you everything you need to walk it out. That's why we know when you're born again, we can quit sinning. Because he gave us what we needed. Verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. To bring to nothing the things that are. This is something that each of us have to learn to walk through as we walk in the Spirit. As we learn with the help of the Holy Spirit to take the things that we used to live by, our thoughts, our concepts, our philosophies, our ideas, our dreams, and bring them to nothing as God brings forth His philosophy, His thoughts, His dreams for you. That is what we would call transformation. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh. Now, I interpret that as meaning that no human ability can take credit for what God has done. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wise from God, and righteous, and sanctification, and redemption. That it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So then he says, when I came, I didn't come with the wisdom to excite you with man's wisdom. I came in the power of God. He's not saying that believers should not seek wisdom. God doesn't want you just to have blind faith. He's a father. He wants you to know and understand why you have a right to believe for things. He doesn't want just blind faith. Just go jump off the bridge and believe He'll catch you. You know, a lot of preachers in the old days, you hear stories of faith preachers walking from the hotel to the conference room and walking by the pool. They got an inclining to, I need to prove I have faith here. I'm going to make a great testimony for the service. I'm going to walk across this pool. And then they would splash into the pool and have to go get changed. Find a new Bible. We're not just to have blind faith and jump off the bridge and stand that it works. He wants us to learn and understand, but that wisdom isn't from this earth. It's a wisdom that's only from God and understood by His children, the part of you that's been born again. Your outward man, the carnal man, has not been born again. That's why when the trumpet sounds, you get a new outward body. It's not just talking about your fingers and toes. It's talking about you get a new natural brain, a new natural emotions and desires that are not made of earthly material, but a new righteous material that allow you to walk on the new earth. That's your new outward man that you're getting. And in that, not only will you have no sickness or disease, you'll have no torment, no emotional desires, no thoughts that are against righteousness, pure, total righteousness. It won't be possible because you will be completely born of Christ. There'll be nothing of Adam left in you. Verse 6 of chapter 2. However, we do speak wisdom. So now he's saying, we don't speak wisdom, but we do speak wisdom. Well, what is it, Paul? You don't have wisdom and you do have wisdom. So he is making a reference that there's two sources of wisdom available. There's a wisdom that's made from this earth, from man's mind, and there is a wisdom that originates from God's mind. And he's saying, I don't speak the wisdom that comes from this earth, but I do speak a wisdom that comes from the mind of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, and yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom in a mystery. So now this wisdom, this mystery means the wisdom I speak to the church is only wisdom I received from a mystery, from God Himself. And we'll learn in probably the next session more about this these mysteries and where they come from. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So this is ancient wisdom that's as old as God is, you might say. It's older than mankind. It's an ancient wisdom of God's understanding. When God thought about creating the universe, it was like science to him. It made sense to him. Oh, I'm going to do this and this. He designed it. And then he said, now I speak it and it comes into existence. It makes total sense to God for that to be normal. It's not a surprise. He didn't go, light be. Oh, it worked. Wow. Hey, give me five. It worked. Wow, amazing. I wasn't sure. I thought it might, but yeah, I didn't know. He knew that when he spoke it, it would come into existence. That is the science of God. That is the wisdom of God. It doesn't make sense to human wisdom, but to God it does. And that's the wisdom he wants to get into you, but your natural man cannot comprehend it because it's a different species than your inner man, which is a child of God, born of God. Your inner man catches it, goes, that's truth, and begins to build up an argument of truth of the wisdom that comes from God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So maybe you've heard this preached that, you know, there's things we'll never understand. His ways are higher than our ways. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, you know. But that's talking about those who were the rulers of the age, those before Christ. If they'd known it was Jesus, the Messiah, they would not have crucified him. If they really knew who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him. And they needed to crucify him so he could become the Lamb of God. So verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So this is talking pre-salvation, that God was preparing things for us who love him to learn his wisdom. One of my struggles with the carnal church, carnal Christianity, is that they're really operating in man's wisdom, trying to do something for God. The motto of carnal Christianity is, what can I do for God? The motto of the spiritual walk with Christianity is, what can God do through me? Two different things. Verse 9 again, but as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. So them is the mysteries. God has revealed these ancient mysteries, understanding, revelations to us through his Spirit. Now, Pastor Dave did an incredible teaching on this, and it helped me to understand that that word Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. That it was I that changed, the man that changed. The Holy Spirit has been around forever. So he's not changing. So why did Jesus say, I'm sending you the teacher? You know, he's coming, but he's right here. Well, he couldn't teach them, not because the Holy Spirit changed in his ability, but that we were changed at our salvation and given the ability now to understand this wisdom. We were given the ability to comprehend this wisdom. We were born again. And so what that means is we receive the new nature. The new nature is complete. It is a nature of righteousness. And that nature seeks God, seeks who it is. It just knows who you are as a child of God and speaks to you in that conviction that we live like this. It doesn't have direction. It doesn't hold knowledge. But it, morally, it is complete. You are righteous because of that new nature. That righteousness doesn't grow. It doesn't shrink. That new nature is an engine of righteousness in you. So the word spirit in these verses here is mostly talking about the new nature. That the new nature brought to life the inner man, and the new nature is what has allowed you. You're born again inner man. You're born again spirit. The spiritual man that got born again is now capable of understanding the knowledge of God. Your outward man, the carnal man, the natural man, was not saved. What changed when you got born again? Did your natural man change? I mean, good Lord, we would fill up a church tomorrow if last Sunday some woman brought her husband and he got saved and then he stood up and he lost 40 pounds and all his hair grew back and his beard went from gray back to dark and he was handsome and dressed better when he stood up and opened the door. Like, what changed in you when you were saved? Well, the inner man and outer man picture says your inner man was completely born again like a newborn baby. With a mind, ability to comprehend things of God, with emotions, the ability to develop the very emotions that Jesus had. But the outward man was left in its condition of darkness. So I didn't lose weight when I got born again. I didn't get taller. I didn't change. Nothing changed in the outward man. All the change that transpired at your salvation was the inner man. The outward man was left in darkness, left dead. So verse 10, and God has revealed these mysteries to us through his spirit, meaning now that I have a new spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That's how we know that this is not talking about the Holy Spirit. Because it says, this spirit that he gave us, his spirit, searches the deep things of God. Well, what does you mean the Holy Spirit seeking the deep things of God? No, he's saying that now that you're born again, your inner man is hungry for the Word of God, for these mysteries. It is desiring these mysteries to feed off of, to grow in the wisdom of God. And if you're not feeding it the mysteries with the help of the Holy Spirit, it will remain like a newborn baby. So many Christians, religion is such a deception. So many loving, well-meaning, hungry people have been diverted from the Holy Spirit to a life of serving God. And they're serving God with all their heart, but their inner man remains like an immature child because they don't feed it the mysteries of God. Pastor Dave said, if you want to see, I think the way he said it was, there was a preacher talking about the devil and witchcraft and backward masking and all those sensational things that we try to preach to get people excited about the devil. And Pastor Dave said, you know, if you want to see a Picasso, the most incredible deception ever painted by the devil, it's when he took the power, the importance of praying in tongues away from the doctrine of the church. And that's why we keep preaching it, because there's a pile of religion on top of it where it's dismissed as a trinket. It's dismissed as something you do on Sunday, and it's dismissed as something, you know, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm special. It's the practice of praying in tongues that brings these mysteries. I'm beginning to preach my other message. We'll get back focused here for you. So God revealed these mysteries through our born-again man, Our new nature has given us a new life to the inner man, which allowed that new man to begin to develop in the wisdom of God. The reason our new man needs to be renewed, the inner man needs to be renewed, was because it was always there, but it was in darkness. So when you got born again, God quickened your new nature, and then it generated righteousness, and it brought to life the inner man and all the knowledge in that spiritual mind that used to be there disappeared, because now it's been quickened into a body, an inner body of light. So that's why we need to renew that knowledge with the mysteries that come from God. Education does not renew your inner man. It may build up your outward man in knowledge, but your inner man only feeds off of the mysteries, the truth, the wisdom of God. It only feeds off of the will of God. And I would add, it only feeds off of worshiping in the presence of God. But God has revealed these mysteries that were hidden before Christ to us, because now we are born of God. Now we have access to develop that wisdom and begin to pull down the wisdom of the carnal man, the outward man. For God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. But the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That's talking about your inner man, and specifically the new nature. That nature craves and pulls you or pushes you to be like your Father. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So see, a normal human, unsaved human, has the nature of man, which is seeks after the wisdom of man. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, this is talking about the new nature and the inner man, because knowledge is not kept in the new nature. The new nature knows righteousness, it knows morality, right, wrong, this is what we do, but the knowledge is kept in the inner man, the mind of your inner man. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, talking about the nature. You didn't get a shined up nature, cleaned up nature of man. You're not a evolved human. You are born a child of God, but you're still wearing the body, the mind and emotions and desires of the old you. And that's why we have to pull that down and build up this new man that we are. Now, we not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So he didn't just say, now I want you to learn this. He said, I've given you and equipped you with everything you need to learn. I've created you a new species. I've made you a new man in righteousness and holiness, a new inner body. So now when I speak to you, I can speak to you plainly like my child. See, your outward man is a lesser species, a less capable species than your inner man. It's like I say if I take my dog and I give it, I hire the most incredible piano teacher in the world, pay him thousands of dollars an hour and have him train my dog 1 hour every day for a year and pay him $1,000 an hour. My dog still won't be able to play the piano. He may be able to hit a note. Maybe we can get that lucky. But he won't be able to play the piano as if I did that with my daughter. See, my daughter is human. My daughter is capable. So if I took that same piano player and said, now teach my daughter how to play an hour a day, then by the end of a year, she would be pretty capable, because she's able to comprehend and understand and learn at that level because they're the same species. But my dog, which is a less capable species, could not understand. And that's the comparison Paul's making here between the wisdom of this world is foolishness to the wisdom of God. The wisdom of all the geniuses of the world is much less than the wisdom that you can have because your inner man now is born of God and given a mind that can understand wisdom. So verse 12 again. Now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been given to us by God. So the only way for any person to ever understand the wisdom of God was they must be born again and equipped with a new nature and a new inner man with a mind that could hold that knowledge. The difference is if I ask you, when you prayed in tongues for an hour, what wisdom did the Holy Spirit teach you? Well, you would say, well, I don't know. But you spent an hour with the Holy Spirit, God, the teacher, teaching you great ancient wisdoms. What wisdom? What did he tell you? I don't know. I just prayed in tongues. Well, where did that wisdom go? Well, most Christians say, well, down in my spirit somewhere. Oh, so you have a place that holds wisdom in your spirit? Yeah, I have a place that holds wisdom in my spirit down there in my belly. Well, what do we call the place that holds wisdom in an animal? Well, we call it the mind. So you have a mind in your spirit. Well, I guess so. Yes, you have a place that holds the wisdom of God, that when you pray in tongues for an hour, that wisdom of the Holy Spirit is given, downloaded into your spiritual mind, because you're of the species, you're a child of God. You can understand these ancient wisdoms now. It's not foolishness to you anymore. It's not misunderstanding. And as that wisdom grows and develops, then the inner man will challenge the false wisdom of the outward man and begin to tear it down. You got to build up the new man before you can tear down the old man. So how can we now freely know the things of God that he's freely given to us? Because we have a new man, an inner man, that has the capacity to hold that wisdom. These things we also speak. I'll read verse 12 again. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Remember, knowledge is in the spiritual mind of the inner man. Morality comes from the nature that's in it. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, here's the Holy Spirit, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So man teaches is not spiritual. Man's wisdom is not spiritual because it originated in the mind of man. And he says, the Holy Spirit teaches you spiritual things to your spirit, your inner man. Your inner man is a fully formed child that can grow in knowledge and grow in emotions from God. You have a place in your inner man that holds knowledge. And the Holy Spirit, when he teaches you spiritual to spiritual, that's why he says, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. Your natural mind is unfruitful. Praying in tongues, he ignores the natural man. That's the home. The natural man is the home of carnal understanding. But the natural man, verse 14, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So we could say he's saying that an unsaved person who's all natural cannot receive the wisdom, the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So we could say that he's talking about a unsaved man. And that's okay. There is a born-again man who has really helped a lot of people in the world. His name's Jordan Peterson. I like a lot of things that he says. He's got a lot of great wisdom and thoughts. But he claims to believe in God, but has not bowed his knee to Jesus yet. So as of this moment, now I've been praying for him that he will come to that conclusion and become born again. But that doesn't happen Believing in Jesus doesn't make you saved. You have to bow your knee to him and become born again, become this new species. Jordan Peterson, I like him mostly. We're from the same area, grew up in the same type of area of Canada. But he's not born again, and he's coming out with many teachings on the Bible and on thoughts about the Bible, thoughts about God. And I won't listen to them. I'm sure they're good. But I know that his ability to know the truth of God, he doesn't have. No matter how smart he is or how right he is about some things, he's wrong. He may get some things right, but he's going to be wrong because he is not born again. Not that he hasn't signed up for a church. He doesn't have the equipment to understand the things of God. I'll give you another example of that. I'm not picking on that man. I'm just trying to make a good comparison for you. One day, he will bow his knee to Christ, and then he'll be family. Now, but he's going to have to go through something that Paul went through. Let's look over in Philippians. I don't give you lots of verses today, but it's important. Philippians chapter 3. And remember, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and he also wrote Philippians. Finally, my brethren, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Remember we heard that in 1 Corinthians? So when he says have no confidence in the flesh, what does that mean? I think I know what it means. Has no confidence that anything that comes out of the outward man, have no confidence in it. It cannot help you get closer to God. We need to bring that down to nothing and build up the inner man. Have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now here's where, listen to this. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecution of the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So all that I gained before I was born again, I've now had to count it as loss. Now think what that means. You go to a church service and someone gets up to give their testimony, and we're kind of familiar with, yeah, used to be a drug addict, used to fornicate, used to steal, but praise God, I've moved on from my past. I count that all as loss. I'm a new person. Well, Paul's testimony that he counted as loss, and later in verse 8, we'll read here, yet indeed I also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord Jesus, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So what is he counting as rubbish that he had to lose and gain Christ? Well, if you can see the picture of the inner man, outward man, this is a perfect example. Paul's testimony wasn't, I did drugs. Oh, I was horrible. I was a thief. I was a liar. I got many illegitimate children, and I've changed my ways. I'm no longer under the past, praise God. No, by the age of 12, he had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. His whole life was dedicated and educated by Pharisaic understanding. The wisdom of the world. The wisdom of religion is the same as wisdom of the world. It comes from the same place, man's thinking, man's mind, carnal thinking. And so he lived holy. He lived righteously. He learned God. And although he went off and so seriously that he was persecuting the church, he's saying here, all of that stuff that I learned before I was saved, I had to unlearn it and learn from a different place. I had to diminish that knowledge, wisdom of man that was in me, that wisdom of religion, because it could not help me understand God. So a man today like Jordan Peterson, please, I'm not trying to call him a Pharisee. I think he's a wonderful guy as far as I know, and has helped many people. But for him to speak about God to the church, now he can speak about God to the world, and God will still use them to help people. But unless they get saved, it doesn't matter. But for Christians to try to get revelation from that, Paul saying, all that I understood about God before I was saved, I counted as rubbish. I had to get rid of it and build up the inner man. Let's go back to verse 8. For indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but with faith in Christ. This, for time's sake, I'll get down to verse 14. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to know what the high call of God is, the upper call of God is, it is diminishing the outward man to a place of mortification, to a place where it bows its knee in its intellect, in its emotions and activity. It bows its knee to the inner man. That is the high call of God, not having a ministry with jets and TV. That's what I used to think it was. No, it's how much of the outward man can I diminish, and how much of the inner man can the Holy Spirit build up in me. We'll finish here. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verse 13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So we can teach it that an unsaved man cannot discern the truth of God. But in this context, we can also add the part of you that wasn't born again, your carnal man, your natural man, did not get saved. It did not get equipped with the ability to understand God any more after you were saved than before you were saved. Otherwise, we could even say, well, I got born again. I lost 50 pounds. All my hair grew back. We can start looking for more of the natural man to be saved. No, the natural man was left in death and darkness. It can never understand the things of God. Your outward man does not have the ability. Now, when you read the word, here's what happens, and I promise I'll close with this. When you read the word of God, it goes through your natural mind, and your natural mind's like that kid who thinks he knows everything. Goes, oh, I got it, I understand it, and it will try to find the answers, and that word goes past the natural mind and into the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind always completely understands the truth. It has to be developed. We'll learn that more as we go, but it holds that truth and does not forget it. Every time you pray in the tongues, God is changing your future. So when I read the word, my natural man goes, oh, okay, I see it. I understand it. And we'll begin to try to put it together like a puzzle. But your natural man's revelation, it cannot understand God, because it's not from God, but your inner man can. And eventually, the inner man, the truth builds up in the inner man and goes, hey, outward man, you're wrong. Let me tell you the truth. And then in that moment, you decide, who do I listen to? Do I listen about this subject to the inner man or the outward man? And we call that a revelation. You can call it a mortification when you choose to kill a thought that the outward man says, I got it. And many Christians are living with the understanding and the revelation of their outward man. That's when you pray in tongues, all of a sudden, after a little while, you start thinking differently. You start living differently because you're living from a different place. I'm going to stop there. You have an inner man born of God, and you have a mind in that inner man, a spiritual brain, a place to hold it, a treasure chest that can hold the truth of God. Fill it up. Fill it up with the Word of God. Fill it up with praying in tongues, and it will change your life. I love you, and thank you for spending time with me. I'll see you again soon. God bless.